All right, my clock just switched. I'm going to call the meeting to order. The approval of the minutes from January 10th and the February 14th are going to be deferred to October 10th in the in-person meeting. So at this point, I'd like to open to public comments. Do we have anyone who would like from the public who would like to speak? Calling once. Calling twice. If not, that item is closed. President's comments. I'd like to defer this item to after the Corporation Council's report. I think it'll fit better then. So moving along, the Health Officer Director's report. Jen, turning to you.
Yes, thank you. So I have yet to send out the February 2023 highlights because they just got finalized. Will come out after this meeting.
Jen, I sent them out.
Oh, Karen sent them out. Great, great. So you got them. I'll just highlight a couple of the points that were within there. Our asthma program, which was really struggling throughout 2022 to gain new clients, has gained some new momentum. In order to keep that program solvent, we have to have 5 new clients a month, and we received 5 in February. And our asthma program specialist, Tessa, who's presented to you all before, she's been doing some outreach with emergency departments and pharmacies and really new creative ways to try to reach those asthma kids out there that we can help. So that is some really great news. Dan, our epidemiologist, has a lot of data projects in the hopper, internal and external facing dashboards with Tableau and whatnot, and is working with an external consultant to do some GIS mapping. So in the coming months, that will be shared with all of you. We're very excited because for various data points, and every one of our programs and services is different on how we can sort of look at how we're quality improving and best serving the community. He started with clinic services, and so Lori in the future will help present that with Dan to sort of show where we can, you know, better improve our clinic services, how we can reach more populations. And so the mapping will certainly help for that quality improvement internally with our programs and services. So be expecting some of that in the future. I am super proud to report out on the Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative. We have had 3 runs now where they have gone, and they being the Kenosha Fire Department, a peer support specialist from Oakwood, and then a public health, our substance use and prevention supervisor, have gone out on a run. They are fully mobile. They have the van. It's labeled with all of our logos. And they have gone to homes where there is an overdose survivor within the last 72 hours. They have visited the houses. One person was incarcerated. We left information behind. Another, the person did not want to speak to the team, but the family members did. So there was a lot of education and outreach there. And it's not just for the overdose survivor, right? It's for the friends and the families and anybody else who wants more information on substance use prevention and treatment and recovery and whatnot. Another home, people didn't answer. We always leave information behind. And so we're really learning as we go along of how we can better adjust to the situation. The snow last Thursday kept us from going out, but we're going out again this week. Ambulance run data has actually declined since the previous year. So in 2021, it was higher than it was in 2022. Fatalities are obviously still existing, but the team, we're certainly taking a deep dive into the baseline data now to see that after a year or two of our CORE team running, if it's truly made an impact in the community as far as decreasing both overdoses and fatalities. So we're very excited about that. It's going swimmingly. And that program, we lost our supervisor. He went back to nursing at the hospital world. And we are getting a brand new supervisor on Monday. So I am sure that Lori Plummer will be bringing him to a future meeting to introduce him to all of you after he gets his feet wet. We won't throw him to you guys too quickly. But after he gets his feet wet, and to introduce you for that program, because that's such a key community resource. I'm also proud to say that we trained up hundreds and hundreds of people, both at the Kenosha Police Department and at Kenosha Unified School District. And the Kenosha Police Department had their first successful opioid overdose reversal in March. So within less than a month of training all of the officers, it worked on at least one person so far. So they're reporting those numbers to us. So that is an amazing feat, an amazing accomplishment there, and how great we're doing in the community. One troubling point is that the Narcan Direct program is where we get all of our Narcan, and we get it for free. However, they've implemented some sort of restriction. So, for example, we used to get 24 cases a month, and now we're only getting 10. So less than half of the Narcan we normally get, which could end up impacting the amount of people we're able to train and give free Narcan to every month. So we are working on workarounds. We'll let you know in the future, both fiscally and then also with the state, as to what is their algorithm and why did they decide to cut us so much over somebody else. We haven't been able to get our hands on their rationale. It seems very subjective right now. So we're trying to get around that to make sure that we get the Narcan that our community is demanding. And I can't remember if I reported last time, we do have Narcan now stored in every county building right next to each AED. So we're very excited about that. Our environmental team, there's something I wanted to let you all know about in case you hear from community members, as you guys are linked to the community. We're up for renewals. It happens every June, May, June, where we send out the letters in April or May, and you know, people have to repay their license, any owners, operators of establishments that we review. And for point of sale licensing, and the license year of 2023-2024 now through the state requires separate point of sale licenses. So for example, I'm gonna use Target because that's really easy. Right now, Target has one license. However, moving forward in the future, they're gonna have to have a separate one for Starbucks and a separate one for their concession stand where they sell hot dogs and popcorn and whatnot. So it's moving from one license for some of these facilities. We don't have a huge number in Kenosha County, but I'm sure there will be some grumblings, right? Then they'll have to pay for separate licenses for each point of sale. So that is something that's going to be different in coming up this year. And then really big kudos to the entire division. Lead, handling elevated blood lead level cases in children is always difficult because it involves so many different hands in the health division. It involves the nursing team, it involves the communicable disease team, it involves the environmental health team, it involves our lead program. And when you have that many hands in the pot, things can get sticky. But I am super proud of all of the teams. They came together, did some several all-day debrief where we went through line item by line item and developed the policy and questioned why and critically thought about every single word that was in the document of why are we doing it this way and why couldn't that be more efficient. And we now have a completed lead policy for all the divisions that will move forward very swimmingly on how we handle elevated blood lead level cases. So very excited about that. And our radon action month went very well. We had 179 kits in Kenosha County, 70 in Walworth County. And as of mid-February, 129 of those kits already came back to us, which is a great return rate, much higher than expected. And so these are some of the examples, you know, as Tessa presented asthma to you, our Bright Family Beginnings, you know, getting more clients there when we have radon. It's for all of you as Board of Health members to really help in promoting all of the public health programs. Certainly you get updates monthly through the Board of Health. Sometimes things are more timely if you catch them on social media. We always have everything on, Leanne puts all of our programs and everything on our Facebook page. So if you're not following that, you should be, and you're hopefully sharing that and spreading the word that way about different things, whether it's as simple as getting a really cheap radon kit to getting more clients for various services. So please continue to help promote and share all the health department's events and good services that they're doing.
Jen, can I prod you to remind them on two more things?
Yep.
Our new clinic hours in Silver Lake and our STI campaign.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Okay, we have a signed contract with KCHC or Pillar Health to offer reproductive health services out at their Silver Lake location. We're going to be there starting in April, the first month, the first Thursday and first and third Thursday of every month. It is specifically for reproductive health services to start out. We don't expect a lot of volume, but this was a goal for us to get a satellite clinic out in that location, and we'll be up and running next month. In addition to that, our long-awaited approval for STI campaign was completed, and we'll be providing those materials in the beginning to younger students who are out there who can spread the word for us, and eventually we'll advertise that a little bit more in detail. Any questions on either of those two things? The reproductive health model will be just a nurse and a MA at the time, and if they do need to see a provider, we will telehealth to our nurse practitioner here at the main clinic.
This is all really exciting because we needed to service the west of the eye better. And our largest community with chlamydia and gonorrhea is the 15 to 24 year olds.
Yep.
So that is why the campaign that Lori is talking about is directly targeted to that population. So adding an Instagram account because they don't go on Facebook. And and so, you know, really being mindful about, you know, underground marketing and getting that youth population to come and get reproductive health and STI services out at KCHC. So we're very excited. Huge, amazing things.
Yep.
Either Jen or Lori, remind us of the numbers, but I believe that Kenosha County's STI rate was higher than, say, Racine or whatever. I mean, I know we've hit some sort of a threshold that mandates certain things. Can both of you just speak to that, especially because I know we've got some new board members that might need that information, but also refresh my memory.
Yes, and I can see both Lori and I are looking up the exact numbers right now. In a nutshell, whenever a county's STI rates are higher than the state average, we receive additional funds and have it's actually written in state statute to ensure STI services are available in the county. Don't quote me, I think we are one of 9 counties in the state whose STI rates are higher than the state average. So we do have a problem in Kenosha County. It's vital that we provide these services. And, you know, when it comes to the un- and underinsured or undocumented population or those experiencing homelessness, we are the service provider for reproductive health and sexually transmitted infections. So for our most vulnerable populations, it is vital that we keep the services alive. And also through state statute, we are able to see those of reproductive age without a parental consent. So we are able to see them confidentially, anonymously, and provide for their needs. So that is through state law.
And that is 12 and up.
Yep. Yeah. So then we will be, we provide those services and we'll be able to continue that. So thanks for asking that, Julia.
Okay, so are we on to Rebecca? Do you have anything else, Jen, or should we move to Rebecca and the school nurses in Kenosha Unified? Over to you, Rebecca.
Hey. All right, hello, everybody. My name is Rebecca Miller. I am the public health nurse supervisor, school nurse consultant. So I supervise a team of school nurse consultants. We are in the K through 8 schools here in Kenosha Unified School District and the charter schools. So all the major middle schools, the elementaries, and the charters. Typically, we're at one school per day, so each of us have about 4 or 5 schools. Middle schools get 2 days. So we've been contracted with Kenosha Unified since 1994. It's been a great partnership. Especially during the pandemic, it proved to be very beneficial for both parties. We helped with the contact tracing and all of that. But on top of doing all of that work, we were writing emergency health plans. We wrote over 700 this year. We also train staff members on how to administer emergency medications. We've trained over 1,000 staff members of Kenosha Unified just this year, with more to come. We teach them how to identify an emergency situation like anaphylactic shock or an asthma attack, and hypoglycemia for our diabetics or hyperglycemia. So we have medications. We show them how to use glucagon, Diastat, albuterol inhalers, and epinephrine. The schools stock epinephrine, which is really awesome. So in case, you know, even if a visitor comes and they have a reaction, we can administer that. The typical issues we see are like headaches, stomach aches, and like injuries on the playground, you know, the band-aids and things. And typically we can weed out who's really sick and who's not just by asking a few basic questions to these kids and just knowing our kids and the frequent flyers that we get. We have a lot of difficulty with having all the correct medications for our students, like inhalers. So our students with asthma, like for example, there's 1,253 kids in the Kenosha Unified School District that have a diagnosis of asthma, but only 256 of those kids have an inhaler at school. So at one school alone, I think we've called 911 five or six times. The things we're finding difficulties with our parents either following up or not having a primary care physician or just all kinds of things. One of the things that we're working on as a team is working with Wisconsin Association of School Nurses to try to get new law that will let us have stock albuterol in the schools. We would love to have that. Since we have the stock epi, we feel like albuterol would be the next good thing to have in our schools for stock. But I believe it's going to take a little while to get that in our schools. But I'm really hoping for that day soon. our main goal is to keep kids in school, keep them healthy, and keep them learning. So, so when we see the stomach aches, a lot of time it's anxiety, you know, what's going on? Are you in math class? You know, things like that. So, any questions?
Becky, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've seen since COVID in behavior, in diagnosis, and in other areas as we have transitioned? Yeah.
It's interesting since the kids have come back from the pandemic. So, you know, they were either virtual learning or there wasn't a lot of kids. Since school's kind of come back full swing, we've noticed a lot of behaviors, increase in behaviors, a lot of time trying to redirect children. We've also seen increase in like diagnoses such as like diabetes. We've had several just since January, I think we've had six new diabetics amongst children. So I know there's not an official correlation, but I'd be interested to see if there is any correlation between COVID and diabetes among children. And then, like I said, the behavioral issues, it's not just at, you know, the kids that struggle schools, it's all across the board. We see kids just difficulty coping with life, not having maybe a good solid foundation at home sometimes, or it's difficult to say what the actual reasons are, but our principals and our staff, like, even though, like, I know the population is decreasing with numbers of children in schools, so like things are getting cut through KUSD, like financially, but we need more people, not less, because these poor principals and social workers and ESPs, which are the aides, are just stretched to capacity trying to deal with these. And in fact, us, the nurses, when we're in the schools, we help too, because we can't not be there and not help, you know. So we'll talk to kids and try to calm them down, and it's people are getting injured. So it's difficult in the schools for sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that presentation. And I guess one of the things I would say is please, you know, send us at the board level, you know, a heads up if there's anything that we can do to assist you, whether that's I'm assuming you're collecting all the data so that we have data points. So, you know, if that's something that, you know, again, we have talked with Kenosha Unified before, if there's something that we as a board can do to help, let us know that as well. Okay. Great. So anybody else have any questions for Rebecca?
I have a comment, and it's just more for the group. I don't know if any of you have read the book iGen. It's for iPhone generation, but it's a sobering book about how the loneliest group or segment of our population is like the 15 to 24-year-olds. It's scary, and they're very connected, but they're not. I mean, they're on their media devices, but these kids are losing their skills. And COVID made it worse. And so these are a real at-risk population. So Rebecca's right. I mean, we really need to work with these kids.
Okay, thank you.
And I will just add that, like, just for those who are new Board of Health members, it's a really unique model in Kenosha County that the nurses, and we're not in the high schools, we're just the nurses for K through eight again, just to reiterate, but the fact that they are public health nurses hired through contract to do the school nursing for KUSD. So it is a unique model. And as Becky said, it totally and completely helped during the pandemic and through other pertussis and measles outbreaks and everything else. For example, there was a widespread measles outbreak in Kentucky recently. And, you know, immediately our communicable disease team and Becky are in touch with each other and keeping their eye out for could there be any potential cases here, as you know, so it's not just falling to pediatricians and into our medical field, right? It's, you know, these sorts of things are being looked at by the whole public health system, which for us, because of this unique relationship, not every health department has that relationship. In fact, I don't know, Becky, how many in the whole state are public health nurses? Maybe one or two others. I don't even know if that. So it's a really unique model. We did have many of our districts west of the I also reach out. They have their school nurse, which they share amongst several districts, retiring, and they're interested in the model that happens with Kenosha County Public Health and KUSD. So many, many benefits. I can't rave about the team enough, like what they've been able to do and accomplish and the connections that keeps the school not isolated as just a school entity, but working with you know, public health in unison and all the benefits that came out, especially in times of crisis. So it's really important. And I think that's where, as Dr. Foster, you were saying, or Julia, you know, to like say, being aware of what's happening at the school or with the school board is vitally important for our Board of Health members, because we're all interconnected and we all have, you know, synergies between us. So knowing what's happening and what's on the docket and the agenda, and I'm sure Becky will return with other issues in the future that we need Board of Health assistance on. So
yeah, and we have our contract for one more year, one more school year after this, and we will be writing another proposal for another extended contract. So we may need some of your assistance and support at that time, but we'll keep
letters,
you posted.
Letter writing. Yes. Support, letters of support. We have to reapply every 3 years for that contract. We have had it since, I'm going to mess
94.
Up the year. 94. So clearly KUSD values a relationship. They've renewed it every 3 years since 1994, but you just never know. That, you know, it's KUSD is obviously going through their own fiscal issues and whatnot too. So, so we just keep providing the amazing services that we provide, and the relationship is good. And we may need your help in the future on that too. So.
Sounds good. All right. Moving on to action and advocacy, Leanne.
Hello, I am the Population Health Manager here at Kenosha County Public Health. My name is Leanne Blanc. One of the couple of hats that I wear is being a part of the Policy and Advocacy Committee for WPHA and WLDAB. And for those of you that are new, WPHA is Wisconsin Public Health Association, and WLDAB is Wisconsin Association of Local Health Departments and Boards. So I'm on the WLDAB side. I sit on the committee with many health officers and other partners at the state level. So we meet monthly, and our next monthly meeting is this Thursday. So I'll give you some updates from January and February. So in January, and what happens is we get a couple of bills that come across our desk every month for support from WPHA and WALDAM. So in January, there was a draft bill expanding the treatment alternatives and diversion programs that passed from our group onto the state. And there was also a draft bill relating to the use of epinephrine delivery systems, expanding the orders for epinephrine. So the bill originally just had EpiPens in it, and now it's changing the information to include epinephrine delivery devices. So if there's more options out there, that would include that expanded options. We're also waiting for a bill coming across the group from Vivint Health to strengthen the Good Samaritan law. We have not yet seen that. We're hoping either this Thursday or in March to see some wording on a bill. The committee didn't want to support it until we actually saw something in front of the team to move forward with that. One of the exciting things that we have that just came out is a bill tracking service called Fast Democracy, and I can put the link to that in the chat, but it's fastdemocracy.com/my-tracked-bills, and you can sign up and actually see where all the bills are that you're interested in looking at in the state and what's been supported and what's on hold and all of that stuff. So it's kind of exciting. I just signed up for it myself, and you can pick actually what topics that you're interested in seeing bills on. So if you're in education, you can pick some things on education. If you're interested in housing or transportation or healthcare, there's a little bit of everything on there. So I will put the link in the chat. So if you're interested, you can connect to Fast Democracy yourself. Does anyone have any questions?
This will become a standing item at every Board of Health moving forward, just so you're aware. When I came into Kenosha County, having come from Milwaukee, we were very immersed in the policy and advocacy world. And when I came to Kenosha, I found we weren't. And there's so many things and bills being proposed and things happening at the state level that directly impact the health department and our residents. And so Leanne is population health manager. That's exactly what population health managers do, is sort of take what's happening at the national level or at the state level and then break it down to what do we need at the local level. So there are certainly things that times where maybe letter writing is warranted, times where we need your opinion on, you know, a bill that might be going forward. Leanne will be the go-between. So any issues you may have, she can take it back to that policy and advocacy committee. It's a big, important one. So we're very grateful to have a representative on that. And to be able to sort of be that bridge between the WPHA model, they have employed a lobbyist. So, you know, we can't lobby, but they've employed a lobbyist to lobby on public health's behalf at the state legislation. So it's important. And so it will become a standing item for her to bring forward any current issues or things that will affect residents of Kenosha County that we need your assistance or help or opinions on. So we're very excited to now have that on the Board of Health.
That's great. All right. Corporation Counsel's report. Jen.
Hi, everyone. I attended one of the meetings before. I'm going to be attending in lieu of John Moyer going forward. I know he had reported last time that we were pretty close on the intergovernmental mutual aid agreement for Lake Behavioral Hospital. I'm happy to report that it passed in the Judiciary and Law Committee on the 1st. We were at the county board meeting last week and it passed for that as well. So we're very close. I think right now we're just waiting for the county executive's signature so we can circulate for all the parties to sign off, and then we can start transporting our mental health commitments down to Illinois. Any questions about any of it?
Just when you get that, if somebody can let us know so that we can pass the word out. I'm assuming that there will be some sort of publicity done, but this is a really, really important thing and something that I know we've been working on for a long time. It's much needed in the community.
Very exciting, and I will let you know. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see, I'm going to move to president's comments. First of all, I'd just like to thank Jen for her leadership over the last 3 years. I don't think many people really understand, you know, how stellar her work was. When COVID hit, we talked about it briefly, but, you know, running from what is COVID to how do we get testing sites to let's set up testing sites to the vaccination clinic. I mean, all of those things. While we were still having to deal with and making sure that Kenosha County residents were safe by doing, you know, restaurant inspections and that the gas stations were selling the appropriate amount of gas and, you know, all of those kind of things. I just want to, you know, kind of express my appreciation and thank you for your leadership, because we are better off because you were here. And we certainly wish you well and good luck in the future. You're welcome. And it's my understanding that with Jen leaving, Lori's going to be stepping up to temporarily fill not only her job, but that of the public health officer. But she's not the only person who needs to step up. And so I'm just going to kind of challenge everybody here on the board that the board has to step up now. So she cannot do two jobs all by herself. And that means that we're not going to not only just have to be at our meetings, but this means that we need to be available to answer questions, continue to set goals, sort through the priorities for the new public health officer. I mean, some of you were on the board the last time when we were doing a search. And others are new, but the last time, you know, the board has, and I'm assuming it's going to go forward, but traditionally the board has some input and we're going to be helping to work to set some priorities and things. We're going to need people available to write letters or to meet with committee, you know, at committee meetings or meet with the county executive or, you know, talk to different people. I mean, there's going to be a lot that the board is going to need to do. And so I'm just going to kind of run out there and say, this isn't something that just one or two of us should be doing. This is the entire board. So, you know, I'm going to thank you in advance for your willingness to continue to really advance the huge variety of programs that we have. It takes a while to learn about all of the different programs that the Kenosha Health Department has and is constantly reevaluating and working in order to better serve our community. And I think that there's an awful lot of people in Kenosha County who now only know of the public health department as, oh, the COVID or, oh, the vaccines or whatever. And, you know, it's our job to continue to spread all the other programs and really get that word out to people. So, Lori, I appreciate your willingness to step up, and I'm challenging the board to step up. And together we will continue to give direction to the public health department for Kenosha County to make Kenosha County a better place. So that's all of my comments. Next on the agenda item, any other businesses allowed by law? If not, then I'm going to say any other closing board comments.
I just want to sort of reiterate, not nearly as well as you just did, I don't think, Julia, but you know, it's just when I was looking back, Dr. Fry, I just started in December, and man, did we throw her into the fire. I mean, she probably assumed she was coming and she was going to have some time to get to know the board, get to know the staff, and all of a sudden, all heck broke loose. You know, I was looking at some statistics, and January 23rd, there were 581 cases in five counties, in countries, I'm sorry. So it was 581 cases in five countries. 6 weeks later, there were over 100,000 cases in 94 countries. I mean, this is just mid-March. And Kenosha County, I think up to right around there, only had 0 to 1 cases. So it was a little hard for the average person to realize just what was starting to come down nationally. And, you know, very shortly thereafter, COVID did basically shut down the world, as the UN referred to it. And I know it was challenging enough just trying to keep navigating through everything between changing recommendations, sometimes confusing ones, advances in science, data kept changing. Fortunately, Jen, you and your team had the courage and the focus to persevere, even through some pretty lousy political environments that I think were inexcusable. And they should be ashamed of themselves. And but just maybe piggybacking on that, maybe Diane looks at JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, but February 28th, they had yet another article that told us roughly 1 in 3 public health workers felt bullied, threatened, or harassed during their work. I mean, it just wasn't right, but you guys did a fantastic job. And you can be very proud of everything you did. I was just asked by a gal that used to work for me. Her daughter's graduating. She wanted each of us to write a few comments. On advice for living your life. And I think one of the most important things you need to try to do is live your life with integrity. And you guys did that. And you did the right things. And so that was good. So you will be missed, but we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Any comments?
I just want to really appreciate it. Yeah.
I can't tell who's speaking. Karen, can you tell?
It was me. But I think Ola was saying something too. Go ahead, Ola.
Just go ahead, you know, after you.
Okay. So I just wanted to kind of echo the same sentiments of Jen. Jen, thank you for all your hard work. We know that sometimes the landscape has not been easy for you, and you kind of did it with a little bit of grace and a smile on your face at the same time. So thank you for, you know, the chats that you've had with me and the things that you shared with me and the things you taught me in my early role as board member. But much success to you in your new role and all your future endeavors.
Thanks, Kenny.
All right, Ola?
One thing I can say is this, you know, you brought finesse and integrity to this job. And that, you know, I thank you. And Kenesha thanks you for all you have done for this place. And I wish you the very best. I hope I can run into you in the next couple of days before you leave, finally. Okay? Yeah.
Thanks, Ola.
All right, Dominique, I see your hand up.
Hey, Jen. Thank you so much for everything you've contributed to our county, you know, being a native-ish of Kenosha. I take, you know, the work that we do to better people's lives personal, and I take it very serious. And so you even extending an invitation for me to be on this board, it was a welcoming of authenticity, because that's the only way I know how to show up. And so thank you for standing in the gap. A lot of things we did not experience, we did not see, but thank you for allowing us the space to not water down how we truly can advocate for people's well-being and health. And I wish you nothing but the best on your endeavors.
Thanks, Dominique.
All right, anyone else?
I will just say I'm very pleased. This Board of Health has come a long way. I remember when I came in, you heard me joke, it was largely a speaker's bureau, right? And everybody got their lunch and then they left. And I wanted to see it become more of that critically reflective discussion. And in January, it was kind of an epiphany to me. And again, you know, February's meetings where we really tackled an issue, and you guys were all contributors and really critically reflecting on whatever the issues were at hand. So I am really ecstatic, you know, with who's on the Board of Health and how it's moving forward. And Lori's going to carry that forward as far as, you know, like as Becky came today, not just to come in and present about what their team is doing, but then to actually bring the issues forth to you all so that you can help and assist and offer your opinion and your guidance in that. So I'm excited to see that move that way. And there will be a new Board of Health member that's going before the next Human Service Committee meeting, and then the county board, representing our Hispanic community to replace Rogelio, who had left last June, I believe it was. So we're very excited to finally fill that position. And then I'm not quite sure with John O'Day's position and how that might turn over, but we will, more to come on that. And so I'm excited. You all are amazing people. Thank you. Thank you for helping public health, advocating for public health, sometimes protecting public health, and always being there, because it's so, so vital. And I appreciate you all so much. You're an amazing Board of Health and all the work that you do, and just help us, you know, Dr. Gerlach just signing orders on the fly when we need something really quick, and, you know, all the phone calls and reaching out and showing up at county board meetings. I saw a couple of you last week, so I appreciate seeing you there, because it all ties together to public health and how we protect the public. So thank you. And I have no doubt that you'll continue on amazingly, and you're in good hands with Lori.
Thank you very much. All right. Any other closing board comments? I am not seeing anything. Okay. Then in that case, I need a motion to adjourn.
So
I move.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All right. In that case, we are adjourned. Thank you very much for your time.
Bye, everybody.
See you next month.
Bye.